إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. We continue with our series on deceptions of this life and deception of the world. And today I want to talk about the issue of how do we value people. This valuation of people, in our modern terminology we call it net worth. So we say high net worth individual, HNI, meaning somebody who is rich, somebody who is wealthy. But this evaluation is not modern, this is old. Because even if we look at our proverbs in Urdu, for example, for somebody who we consider to be worthless, we say do take ka aadmi hai. The Bangladeshi taka, for some reason it seems to have, so they say do take ka aadmi hai, and uska koi waqt hi nahi hai. Ha, bilkul waqt nahi hai, bilkul bekar aadmi. Now this issue of valuing people in terms of their money, their monetary wealth, this is one of the biggest deceptions of the world and one of the greatest causes of corruption. If you look at the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, see what kind of, today for example, before I go there, today one of the biggest problems that we have in the upbringing of children is the absence of role models. If you say what is the role model that I should point to my child and say be like that person, who should I point at? And if you say point at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course that is the best model, but that's 1400 years ago. I'm saying that if we are saying that the only model we can find is 1400 years old, then there is something seriously wrong with how we are living our lives, right? And this seems to be the case. I mean, the sense of we don't have to go 1400 years earlier, but all our role models seem to be in the past. If you look at, who do we point at when we look at role models, they all seem to be in the past, remote past or, recent past, but always. Today, if I say, point to a role model living, who you know, who does your child know? And there is, for most people, there is nobody. And this is not something that I am just saying it without research. One of the things I do is when I teach courses in schools for parents and teachers, almost invariably the first question I ask, I always ask two questions. First question I ask people is, think of a role model. And I tell them, don't think of anybody in the past, anybody who passed away alive. Think about somebody who is alive. At least one generation, right? So think. As soon as they thought about that, I tell them, now tell me, for how many of you that role model is a parent or a teacher? And the record is, having taught these courses in many countries in the world, across cultures, the record is never more than 10% of the people raise their hands to say, my role model is my father or mother, or my role model is one of my teachers, one of the many teachers I had. Less than 10%. For 90% and more of people, and this is across the board, this is not only Muslims, anybody. For 90% and more, the role model is neither the father, nor the mother, nor a teacher. Right? So, my point is, something is seriously wrong. I mean, how is it that we, because if you look at it, the two roles who have the maximum face time with the child is the parents and the teachers. Right? You got eight hours in schools, 5 days a week, 7 days a week, 6 days a week, and you have the other 16 hours where the parental contact supposedly should be there. Even if you take out 8 hours for sleep, that's another 8 hours. Despite that, for 90% and more of the people, the role model is neither a father, nor a mother, nor a teacher. Right? Now, if you go into the life of the Sahaba, for example, if you take one of the children around Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you take Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, for example, he was a small child. Now, what kind of role model would he have had? Of course, he would have had Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was his cousin. But other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what kind of role models would he have had? He would have had his uncle Ali bin Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu as a role model, right? I mean, can we find a better role model than Ali bin Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu? He would have had Ja'far bin Abi Talib, the brother of Ali bin Abi Talib, Ja'far al-Tayyar as he is called, because of the Battle of Mu'tah, where he lost both his arms, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Allah gave him wings. And that's how he's called Ja'far the Flyer, you know, Ja'far al-Tayyar. That is his role model of Abdullah ibn Abbas, my uncle. Now, my point I'm making is that they didn't have to look very far to find role models. They didn't have to search in the past. Now, where do I find, you know, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, my great-grandfather, my so-and-so, or go all the way back to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or go to Umar ibn al-Khattab or Abu Bakr Siddiq. No, they had role models in their lives, living right next door. Who's my role model? My uncle, my chacha, my mama, my chachi, my mumani, whoever, right? So they had people in their own lives. They had their own parents who were role models. Who was the role model of Muhammad ibn Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas? Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. Who was the role model for Muhammad bin Ahmad bin Hanbal? Ahmad ibn Hanbal radiallahu anhu. Right? His own father, one of the greatest ulama of this ummah, Ahmad bin Hanbal. His son, Muhammad bin Ahmad. Now, people didn't have to go very far to look for role models. Their role models were right there in front of their eyes. And that is how they developed character. That is how they... And that is because Islam changed the definition of the term high net worth. I always say this, that Islam changed the definition of high net worth individual from Abu Lahab to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Lahab was a high net worth individual among the mushrikeen of Makkah. He was one of the Ru'usa of the Quraysh. He was one of the wealthiest merchants of the Quraysh. So he was the equivalent of, you know, name whoever you want in today's world. The high net worth individuals that we have amongst ourselves, name any of them Muslim or not Muslim, he was that. He was the equivalent of, whoever, Tata, Birla, Wallah, Alam. Islam changed that valuation of a human being. And Islam said that what a person has in his safe, in his house, or what he has in his bank, or what he has in his pocket is not an indicator of anything. We don't even look at that. What do we look at? We look at his character. We look at his piety. We look at his connection with Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. We look at what does the person do. We don't look at what he has. We look at what does he do. It's not what I have, but what I do, which counts. So then you have Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who didn't have much wealth. Why did he not have much wealth? Because he did something with that wealth. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was not poor. He was one of the wealthy people in Makkah. He was not the level of Abu Jahl or Abu Lahab, but he was not, he was not like Sayyidina Bilal or something. He was not a slave, and he was not destitute. But why is it that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, why is it he didn't have wealth? What happened to his wealth? Where did it go? It went in buying slaves. Why? Was he trying to fill his own house with slaves? No. He bought slaves to free them. He bought slaves to free them. And that is where he spent his wealth. To the extent his father told him, why do you buy these slaves? For what? You buy the weakest. You buy some woman who somebody is beating. You buy Bilal radiallahu anhu, an African, black African man. What value does he have? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. May Allah forgive us. This is unfortunately that mushrikeen vision of racism is what we have. We Muslims have more than anybody else. Right today. It's all very well to say Bilal radiallahu anhu. But how many Muslims who are not black African will marry their daughter to a black African man who is a Muslim? Shame on us. Absolute shame on us. You will not marry. You will look high and low, find anyone but a black African man. Why? And then you say Bilal radiallahu anhu. If Bilal radiallahu anhu was alive today and he had a son or a daughter, you would not give your stupid child to that the son of Bilal or radiallahu anhu to be married. And you talk about Bilal radiallahu anhu. So the father of Abu Qahafa, the father of Abu Qasidi, he said to him, why do you buy these slaves? They can't do anything for you. You buy them and you release them. They can't even help you and so on. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, I don't buy them for myself. I buy them for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the wealth you have. It is what you do with that wealth. The wealth you have, do you buy trinkets with it? Do you buy car after car after car? Do you buy build a house after house after house? Do you fill buy Louis Vuitton suitcases and handbags and, you know, I've got nothing against Louis Vuitton. I'm just saying, these are the things. I was we were in a hotel in Delhi and we looked at these ladies' handbags. You have a handbag which can hardly hold, a few things. And the cost of that? $5,000. $5,000. Ajeeb, what is strange is that there are people who have the intelligence to buy that. Can you imagine? You spend that kind of money on a handbag? La halo la quwwata illa billah. On a pair of shoes? And tell the same people, why don't you spend that money on something which has value? Give that money to a school. Some children will study. $5,000 is useful money. People can study in that. No, they will not do that. They will not do that. High net worth. Islam changed the value of high net worth. It changed the meaning, the definition. How do you define net worth? Net worth used to be defined in those days in the same way that net worth is defined today. How much money do you have? It doesn't matter how you got it. Halal, haram, do whatever you want. As long as you have money, khalas, you are a honorable person. We have in India, right here in Hyderabad, we have cases where we had our high net worth individuals who sold this country down the drain, literally, right? Destroyed the image of this country by writing false accounts in their books, made millions and millions and millions of dollars, got caught, went to jail, came out of the jail. They did not even lose their club membership. And other so-called intelligent and so-called, people of Izza have no shame to belong to the same club where a thief who went to jail for stealing is also a member. The club does not remove the man's name from the list to say, sorry, we cannot have you, Mr. So-and-so, as the member of our club because, you stole and you went to jail. And others don't say, sorry, if you don't take out the name of this man, here is my resignation. I cannot be in the same club where you got a thief as a member. There is no shame, absolutely no shame. Completely society of shameless people. And that is why we have this state. Islam changed that. Islam said, have some shame, have some izzah. And that izzah comes from connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, not the amount of haram money you have in your pocket. So Islam changed this value, this term, high net worth individual, the connotation of that, the definition of that, Islam changed. And therefore, Islam gave role models to our children. And as I told you, those role models for those children were not far in the past, they were not in the remote past, they were not in some country, Nelson Mandela or someone, no. My own uncle, my own father, my own grandfather, my own grandmother, my own aunt, my own mother. These were the role models which those children could see on a daily basis. They sat with them, they ate with them, they went out with them, they came home. And that is what, and when those people died, they died deaths which people talked about for Jafar al-Tayyar, when did he die, radiallahu anhu? Why am I sitting here thousands of miles away from the place Jafar al-Tayyar radiallahu anhu passed away? And he died in the Battle of Mota. Why am I sitting here and taking his name for what? He is not my grandfather. Because of his actions. It is not what you have. It is what you do with what you have. Whether it is money, whether it is knowledge, whether it is health and wealth, it is not what you have, it is what you do with what you have. And that is what we are going to be held accountable for on the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a sense to use what we have to the best advantage that we can get, because this is good business. This is good business, and Allah called it business in the Quran. Make the best of it. How can we make the best of what we have? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to understand and to practice more than we talk. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and our mistakes and to bless us with His mercy. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika arhamar rahim.